You're listening to a sermon series by Grace City Church, a church plant in Green Square in Sydney. For more information about us, visit gracecity.com.au.
Okay, well, welcome everybody. My name is Matt. How's everyone doing today? Yeah. Someone's great over there. That's good. We're starting a new series today, as Tim said, in the lead up to Christmas. And really what this is a continuation from what we've been doing in our community groups over the last term. We've just finished a series called The Generosity Project. And the overwhelming feedback that I've had as we've been doing this is people found it really helpful in thinking through what generosity is, biblical generosity that is, and how they can be made more generous in their own lives. And what we saw in the series is that really that as Christians, the generosity that we show to others really is an outworking of the generosity that we have received from God in the gospel. The extravagant generosity that is shown to us then outflows from us into generosity to other people. And so the title for this series, as we've heard, comes from Acts chapter 20, verse 35, where Jesus says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And so this new series, Blessed to Give, is really about that. Out of the overflow of blessing that we've received from Christ in the gospel, we are now blessed to give. Give of our lives, of our finances, of our time, of everything to others, for the good of others and for the glory of God. Now, to go along with this series, we're also going to, as a church, do three special projects to help implement or to put into practice in our lives what we're learning about during this series. And so, again, if you're in community groups, we would have heard a little bit about that. I'll tell you about one of them today, and then next week I'll tell you about the other two. But all that said, let's pray, and then let's jump into what we've got for today. So, Father, we thank you for this time together now. And we do pray that out of the overflow of the blessing that you have given us in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would cause our lives to be ones of giving, giving of our time, of ourselves, of our money, everything that we have for the good of others and for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our topic for today as part of this new series is hospitality. Now, I've been a Christian over half my life and listened to a lot of sermons over that time. I don't think I've ever heard a sermon on the topic of hospitality before. Now, I don't know what comes to mind when you think of hospitality. Maybe it's the hospitality industry. Maybe it's a perfect spread on a table in a magazine. Maybe it's having people over for a dinner party at your house. I love watching shows about people going and finding a new house to live in. Any House Hunters fans out there? Anyone seen that show? A couple? The people at the first service as well, everyone, the few people that did were so excited and everyone else was like, what is that show? Anyway, one of the things that happens every time I watch that show is as they walk into like the lounge room, they're like, oh, this place would be great for entertaining. And what they really mean is this would be great when I invite my friends over to make them jealous. Now, that's not what hospitality is, okay? What we're going to look at today is biblical hospitality. And why I say biblical hospitality is because we're looking at how God defines what hospitality is. And so my aim for today is I want to show you from the Bible what hospitality is. And then I want to show us, well, what should empower us to live lives of hospitality like this. And then finally, I want to paint a bit of a picture of what this could look like in our lives on a daily basis. And as we do this, what my aim isn't to do is to guilt people into feeling bad if they're not doing it, but to excite us as to want to live like this, to want to live out these lives of hospitality in our lives and in our church. And so let's jump in. But one last thing before we get going, let me speak to a few groups of people. First of all, men, look at me. This is for us too. This isn't just a thing for women. This is for all of us. Second of all, introverts, hands up if you're an introvert. Surely there's more introverts in this church than that. Speaking to myself here as well, I'm a massive introvert. We don't get a leave pass on this just because we don't like people. We're still to be hospitable as well. Now, finally, for people who love entertaining, and I know there's a few people at church like that, can I encourage you today, wherever you land on this spectrum, to let God redefine potentially what hospitality is from his word, And not just to get our idea of hospitality from social media or TV or whatever it is. Okay, let's start. Let's jump in with some verses about hospitality. What does the Bible say about hospitality? Well, Romans 12 says, share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality. Or in 1 Peter 4 says, to offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Or in Hebrews 13, you might know this one, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing about it. Now, speaking directly to church leadership, Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 3, said, now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. And again in Titus chapter 1, since an overseer manages the household of God, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable. And then there's a whole bunch of other qualifications that come after it. Now, do you notice there in that second passage, the first positive qualification given to church leaders of what their life should look like is that they are to be hospitable. It's not a bonus that comes at the end if you've got enough time or you should be hospitable. No, it's a qualification for leadership. And so the first thing I think we see here as we look at, well, what does the Bible say about hospitality, is that it's a command for all of us, for everyone in God's family, to be hospitable. And it's a requirement for church leadership. Okay, so it's something we're all meant to do, but what exactly is biblical hospitality? Well, Rosea Butterfield, who has written extensively on Christian hospitality, and has written this excellent book, I commend it to you. It's called The Gospel Comes with a House Key. I've spent a lot of time reading that this in the last couple of weeks. I'm going to quote a lot from her today as well. She says that hospitality is one of the most misunderstood concepts in the church today. And so, well, what is hospitality? Well, the Greek word for hospitality is the combination of two words. They'll come up on the screen. You got philo, which is one of the four Greek words used for love. There's four different words to describe different types of love in Greek. And philo is brotherly love, or love for family and friends. And then the second word is xenos, which means stranger or immigrant. And so that's where we get the word xenophobia from. And so when you put these two words together, biblically speaking, what hospitality means is something like this: love of strangers. And so when you think about hospitality like that, it's so much more than just hosting a party at your house for your friends, isn't it? Think about those verses that we just read out before. Oops, can you just go back there? One. So Romans 12 again, share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice loving strangers like you would your own family. Or in 1 Peter 4, offer love to strangers like you would your own family without grumbling. Or in 1 Timothy and Titus about church leaders, we are to be people who love strangers like we would our own family or friends. Now, church leadership, how are we going at that? Rosaria Butterfield defines biblical hospitality like this, and I think this is a really helpful definition. She says, hospitality is meeting strangers and embracing that stranger as a neighbor, then meeting a neighbor, and by God's power, embracing that neighbor as someone who will be part of the family of God. Now, it's a lot there. When I first read it, I was like, okay, let me figure this out. I think it helps to, move it around a bit and see what's going on. So maybe I'm just a bit slow, but this was helpful for me. And so what is it? Well, it's meeting a stranger and then embracing that stranger as a neighbor, and by God's power, embracing that neighbor as someone who will become part of the family of God. And what I love about this definition is it shows the outcome. It shows the end game of what we're doing here as we're seeking to show hospitality to others, strangers, becoming neighbors, becoming part of the family of God. Now, often I think when we think about hospitality, we tend to think of it as an action that we do occasionally. And so we invite people over to our house and go, sweet, tick that box for the month. And maybe next month you start to feel a bit guilty. And you say, invite some more people over for dinner. And go, okay, I've ticked that box for the next month. COVID's given us a great excuse, hasn't it, to not show this kind of hospitality, to close our houses and our lives from other people. But one of the biggest side effects that I think has come out of this last year and COVID has been loneliness and isolation. This is a Facebook post I saw this week. It says, think about Christmas. Is there anyone else like me who can't go home or have family visit here in Sydney? Would be alone. Anyone interested in celebrating together? Now, that's just not some random out there. That's someone in our local community asking that question. Biblical hospitality calls for us as believers to open our homes and our lives to those around us, to see strangers become neighbors, become part of the family of God. It's not just something we do every now and then, but it's a lifestyle that we're called to live as God's people. And so, first of all, what is biblical hospitality? Well, it's loving strangers so they might become part of the family of God. Now, as you hear that kind of definition of what hospitality is, I reckon that's a huge call in our lives, isn't it? It's a pretty massive thing to do. Now, I suspect there's some people who hear that and get really excited about that as an idea, but I imagine for a lot of us, an idea like that to open up your lives and your homes to other people and invite them in seems pretty scary. And so, for myself, speaking openly for a moment, I think my tendency is to run from that kind of hospitality and rather think of myself and my own personal space and my own time. But if it's a biblical command for all Christians, well, how are we meant to be people like this? How are we meant to live lives characterized by this kind of hospitality? Well, it's here that we could just go straight into a bunch of tips and ideas of this is what it could look like in your own life. And we will get to that in a bit. But like everything in the Christian life, how we live must be a response to God and His gospel, how God has treated us. And so we need to have a deep understanding and foundation in our lives of the gospel. Yes, it's the gospel message that saves us, but it's also a gospel message that must transform our lives. It's not just the thing we get into the kingdom of God, it's something that changes our whole lives. And so what is the gospel message? Well, the gospel message is that God has saved you and welcomed you into His family at immense cost to Himself, even though we were strangers. It's that we were strangers and God adopted us and invited us into His home, into His family. And it's only then that this gospel can transform us and empower us to then seek to live like that with others. As the title of the series suggests, we have been blessed to give. And so what could this look like in our lives? What could this look like in your life? Well, I think it'd be easy to come up with a bunch of objections and excuses why you don't need to do that. I'm too busy, my house is too small, I'm too messy, I live with other flatmates and they don't want to do this, I can't cook, or I'm not a very good cook, I don't have enough money, I have kids, maybe they'll be negatively impacted if I invite other people in. There's all sorts of excuses and objections that you might have. But can I encourage you, don't let these objections get in the way. Hospitality is a bit like evangelism. It's not something else you need to cram into your life to find another thing to do. Hospitality needs to become part of your life. It needs to become part of your everyday life. Remember, it's not about an act you do every now and then. It's a way of life. And so, Rosaria Butterfield again says, all Christians are called to practice hospitality in their homes. Households run by single Christians are just as vital, necessary, and needed in the practice of hospitality as those run by married people. Households without children and households with children each model Christ's blessings. The redeemed rich and the redeemed poor and everyone in between are called to practice Christian hospitality in households, dorms, bus stops, and community gardens. And so with that in mind, let me give you I've got 8 suggestions here from one person who wants to get better at this to hopefully some other people. So, number 1, decide to make hospitality part of your everyday life. Just start inviting people into your life. Don't try and add new things. Just invite people into the things that you're already doing. You're already eating meals. You have 3 meals a day. Why don't you invite people into some of those meals, whether it's a breakfast or dinner, whatever it is. And it's not about the food. You don't have to have some fancy food. Food is just a great way to invite people in and make them feel comfortable. One of the things that myself and my wife have been doing lately, we've got 2 young kids, and it'd be easy for us to just go, look, we just can't have people over at the moment because, you know, we've got to get the kids to bed. But we decided, well, why don't we invite people in and get them to be part of the dinner, bath, bed routine? And so as we invite people over, because we can't often go out because the kids are going to go to bed, but we invite people into our house and say, come early, have dinner with the kids. You can be part of bathing them and putting them to bed. It's great. Well, I love it because it's less work for me. They clean up a bit afterward. See what I mean? It's not trying to add more things. It's inviting people into your life. My son, who's 2 years old, George, one of the things before he goes to bed is he's allowed to go and pick one book off the bookshelf. And we had a lady over in our house, and she wasn't a Christian, and she was up helping us put George to bed. And I said, okay, George, go and get a book. And she comes back with this little Christian book about Jesus. And then she sits on this lady's lap and says, you read it to me. And I was like, yes. George, little evangelist, putting dad to shame. But it was so beautiful. And then this lady read this book about Jesus to my son. I liked it. It was pretty cool. Rosaria again says, God calls us to practice hospitality as a daily way of life, not as an occasional activity when time and finance allows. It's a daily part of life. But it might mean to do this that you need to change what your everyday life looks like. It means you need to stop filling every second of your life with stuff. If you have kids, maybe they don't need to play 3 different sports and a musical instrument. You don't need to fill every moment, every day with stuff. Create room and space to invite other people into your life. What other people in your life want to see is not that your kids can play 3 different sports, but that you can model the Christian life to them. And so number 1, decide to make it part of your everyday life. Number 2, start now. Don't wait for later on. Don't wait till you're married or till this season of life is over or till you get a bigger house or more money or whatever it is. Choose to start now. There's always going to be a reason why you should do it later. But God's calling us in whatever situation and whatever stage of life that we are in to practice this kind of biblical hospitality. And so again, Rosaria Butterfield, let God use your home, your apartment, your dorm room, your front yard, your community gymnasium or garden for the purpose of making strangers into neighbors and neighbors into the family of God. So number 2, start now. Number 3, invite others to join you as you do this. Now, you don't need to do this alone as you show biblical hospitality to others. Remember Sam Chan, he came in a few weeks ago and he said, get our friends to become their friends. You don't need to be the one weird Christian. You can invite other weird Christians to join you in this. Everyone always laughs when I say weird Christians. We're weird, trust me. If you're a Christian, you're weird. If you don't realize that, it's because you don't hang around with enough other people to realize how weird you actually are. If you're single, why don't you get a couple of other single friends, get together each week, have a meal together, maybe go out and enjoy a meal out and invite other people in. If you're married, invite maybe a single person into your family. We've got a few people at church that have an extra bedroom and they've invited a single person to come and live with them. I think that's a beautiful thing. One of the things I used to hate as my friends around me were getting married was they'd only ever invite their other couple friends over for dinner. And if I did get an invite, it was the token invite because, you know, I feel sorry for Matt. He's still single. We'll invite him over. Invite people that are different to you into your house. Maybe invite a single mum. Invite her into your family. It's hard enough to look after kids when there's 2 of you. How much harder is it when it's just 1? Okay, number four. Share your life, but as you do that with people, share your faith. Radical ordinary hospitality shows the skeptical post-Christian world what authentic Christianity looks like. As you open your home and your family and your life to people, they'll start to get a glimpse of the gospel. As you share your life with people, share your faith. Share what hope you have. Remember, Sam Chan said, they reminded us the other week, we have the better story. So share that with others. As you have meals, say grace. Offer to pray for people. If you read the Bible with your kids, grab the Bibles out when other people are there and do your normal thing. It might sound weird. I had someone come up to me after the first service and they said, yeah, every night when we're having dinner with our kids, the kids go and grab Bibles and we sit at the table and we read a little bit of it. And so when we have other people over, we just keep doing that thing. And he's like, sometimes it's a little bit weird, but we just get everyone involved. That's okay. In the early church, hospitality became the basis for evangelism. It's why the gospel spread so quickly in the first century, as Christians opened their houses and practiced hospitality. Now, in that culture at the time, you would have people over for what you could get out of them. But Christians practiced hospitality different. They invited in the people that were rejected by the rest of society. It's what made the church develop this reputation for love, as they loved the outsider, as they loved them and brought them in so that they belonged. You read about it in the early chapters in the book of Acts. And so Acts chapter 2 says, every day, this is the early church, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Strangers becoming neighbors, becoming part of the family of God. And so, as you open your lives to show hospitality to people, share your faith as well. Number five, be aware of the season of life that you are in and how God has wired you, and if you're married, your spouse. For some of you, you will find hospitality really easy. You love hanging out with people. My wife is one of these people. She's an extrovert. She loves having people in our house. If it was up to her, I reckon there'd be people in our house all the time. I reckon that would kill me. I just could not handle that. You need to figure out what this looks like for you, and if you're married or if you live with other people, what it looks like for them. So, for example, if you've just had a new baby, then hospitality is going to look really different than if you've got adult kids who've moved out of home, or if you're a single person, or if you're living with some other people. And so figure out what it's going to look like for the stage of life that you're in. But then also, I reckon, pray and ask God to increase your capacity. I think for me as an introvert, it's not just an excuse to go, well, I'm just an introvert, so I don't have to worry about this. No, you want to pray and ask God, increase my capacity for people and to love and care and invite people into my life. Number six, show hospitality, but there's also going to be times where you need to receive hospitality. I actually think this is an area for us as a church that we're not really good at. We're very independent people in this church, and I think often it's hard to accept hospitality from others, other people welcoming us into their lives, to admit that we need help, that we're lonely, that we're struggling with life. Let others serve you. Let others invite you into their life. Be humble enough to ask. Sometimes people won't know unless you actually tell them. Maybe invite yourself over to their house. Go, hey, I'm a bit lonely. Can I come over to your house for dinner? And then if someone asks you that, say yes. Invite them into your life. We all need people around us. And so be willing to receive it when it's needed. Number seven, invite people into your life, but don't live like them. And so Jesus dined with sinners, but he didn't sin with sinners. Jesus lived in the world, but he didn't live like the world. There's a massive difference between acceptance and approval. We are to accept and to love and to invite people into our lives, but that doesn't mean that we have to approve of everything that they do. Don't believe the lie that the only way you can actually love someone is if you approve of everything they do. You don't even approve of everything you do, let alone anyone else. You can welcome people with vastly different worldviews and different ways of life and accept them into your life without approving of everything that they choose to do. And finally, living like this will come at a cost, won't it? Yes, financially, potentially, as you open up your house and have more people over for meals, maybe the food bill will go up. But it's also going to come at the cost of things like your selfishness, or a constant pursuit of acquiring more, or a simple and quiet life, or a nice clean house. When you invite people into your house and into your life, things are going to get messy because people are messy. You're messy. And so it might even come at the cost of other friendships that you have, whether at church or in other places, as you seek to make room in your life to invite other people in. But there's also great joy as you do this, as you realize that those other things that you thought were really important don't really matter, and that what Jesus said was actually true, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so, Gracie, what is that going to look like in your lives? What could this biblical vision of hospitality look like in your own life? Well, really, that's up to you guys individually. But let me remind us of these words from James chapter 1. We looked at this in our last week in our community groups, if you're in one. It said, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and then after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, will be blessed in what they do." And so we're serious about this. We're serious about this idea of all of us offering this kind of biblical hospitality. And so we're going to do something that we as a church have never done before. On Sunday the 20th of December, so not this Sunday, but the one after it, we're going to have no church services here at Grace City. First time we've ever done that. And why is it? Well, because we want to free everyone up, myself included, to open our homes to people and invite people in for a Christmas meal. Now, what could that look like for you? Well, again, that's up to you. It might mean inviting the neighbors that you always see in the lift and have those really awkward conversations as the lift's going down, but you've never actually invited them into your house. Maybe this is an opportunity to do that. Maybe it's a work colleague or someone from uni. If you've got kids, maybe it's someone from your kids' school or daycare. Invite them in. They could be Christian, non-Christian. Maybe it's someone who's new at church who is looking to build some friendships here. One of the things I often hear from people in our church who are from another country, and something like 50% of the people in our church weren't born in Australia, what they often say is it took so long for me to be invited into people's houses. Now, that shouldn't be. Especially in church, we should be inviting people into our houses, into our lives. And so who has God placed in your life? Who are some people that live in your building, that live on your street, that you already have connections with, who you can take from strangers to neighbors into the family of God? And so we want everyone to be involved. It's not a week off. It's not sweet, I can sleep in this week, don't have to worry about coming to church. We want to free you guys up to open your lives and your houses to others. Maybe do it with some other people. Don't have to do it alone. Do it with some other people. What's that look like for me? Well, myself and my wife, Shell, we are going to invite two families from from my wife's mother's group. We've been getting to know these two families over the last 2 years. We've gone on a few play dates with them. But I realized not long ago, in the 2 years we've known them, we've never actually invited them into our house. We've sort of done a couple of things out there, but to invite them in more into our lives. And so here's a question you could ask as you do this. While you're eating, while you're enjoying company with them, ask this question. What does Christmas mean for you? Or what did Christmas mean for you when you were growing up? And then let them speak. Let them share what it means for them. Let them talk about what it is that they hope in, what their worldview is. And then hopefully, as they share, they then ask you, well, what about for you? What does Christmas mean for you? And then use it as an opportunity to share the hope that you have. That there is a God who has loved us in sending his son, the God who became like one of us. And you might even get a chance to invite them to Christmas Eve. We've heard about that already. We've got three services on Christmas Eve. Why don't you use this as an opportunity to invite people? Come along. Why don't you check out church with us this Christmas? Do you know, most people, if you invite them to church at Christmas, will come. So why don't you take that opportunity? Well, I'm going to pray for us. Pray that we would be a people and a church that offers this kind of biblical hospitality to the people around us. And then I'm going to invite Shimon to come up and hear a little bit about what that looks like in his life. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your gospel. We thank you that in it, you are the God who has welcomed us, even though we were strangers, into your family. That you have saved us and you have transformed us. And out of that, we pray, would overflow a love and a hospitality for those around us. Lord, would you make us people who welcome strangers, that they would become neighbors, that they would become the people of God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.